Thanks for joining us online today. If you'd like to know more about the church or supporting this ministry financially, please go to our website, thepromisesd.com. Now, enjoy the message.
All right. Well, let's go to the Word today. I'm going to start by reading from Luke chapter 5, verse 17. And the title of my sermon today is, How Do You See Yourself? How do you see yourself? So we're going to read from Luke chapter 5, verse 17. One day, Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Repeat after me, the power of the Lord was with Jesus. Some men carrying a paralyzed man on a mat, some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, Friend, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority and power on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave thanks to God. They were filled with awe and said, We have seen remarkable things today. I want to ask you, who do you identify with in this story? Which character sticks out to you? Which one do you feel like you might identify with? Is it the lame man in the story? Are you in desperate need of a miracle in your life? Are you the critical Pharisee? Jaded? Or perhaps you're the friends, the ones that are helping people to Jesus, always there to carry somebody and help them to get to Jesus. Well, I think the interesting thing is we can all identify with each of the characters in the story at some point. If you're honest with yourself and you look at your life, you've probably been at least one of these at some point or another. I mean, we've definitely felt like the lame man in the story. If there's ever been times, and maybe this is you now, where you're just struggling through life, you're just struggling and you're just like, when is my miracle gonna come? You know, maybe it's because you're facing financial hardships and you're looking for a job or you're looking for a place to stay or you're needing money for your rent and you're just waiting and wondering, like, is my miracle gonna come in time? You know, or if there's a sickness or an illness that you're busy dealing with and you know that, man, I need God's hand in this, I need a miracle. Or if you're struggling in your marriage, and you know, maybe your marriage is more fight than fantasy. I don't know, struggling to find a correlation in my head there. You know, maybe it's like that right now, and you're also knowing, you're like, man, we need a miracle. We need some restoration. We need some only healing that God can bring. Or maybe you're just paralyzed in life. Maybe you just have no purpose and no vision and no reason for getting up in the morning. So yes, sometimes I think we can identify with this man in the story because there are times we've definitely felt helpless or stuck and just wondering, like, am I going to be able to keep going? Will I have the faith to make it? Do you think somebody will help me on this journey? Do you think my life even counts for something? So I think we can identify him. But you know, I wonder how many people had prayed for this man or how many doctors he had seen looking for a cure and yet nothing. No one could help him. Nothing could change his circumstances. And so now here he is, he's living in this paralyzed state, not just physically either, but emotionally. See, because life has a way of bringing you to your knees. Sometimes in prayer, and sometimes in desperation. You know, I know everybody in this room has experienced heartbreak and disappointments at some time in your life. And when those heartbreaks and failures come, sometimes it's really difficult to have a hopeful future, to look forward with hope and expectation because of what you've been through, what you've experienced. But don't let your past paralyze you. See, there is a way of remembering your past that will steal the potential for today. Or there's a way of remembering your past that will fuel your faith for tomorrow. It's all about how you choose to see God. Will you choose to see God and His goodness in your life? How do you see yourself? So the next character in the story are the friends. You've got to love friends like this. I mean, these are the kind of friends that are going to give up their Saturday. They plan to go golfing or family day, and they're going to give up their Saturday. They're going to all get together, change their schedules, get over to this friend's house so they can get him to Jesus. That's good friends right there. But, you know, I wonder what the motivation was with these friends. I wonder if it was more of the lame guy going, hey, guys, so, you know, there's this guy in town. Have you heard his name? He's like Jesus, and he, like, cast out demons and crazy miracles. And I was wondering, you know, maybe you could take me because maybe you could give me new legs. You know, it's like you wonder how the conversation went. Or was it the friends on the other side, you know, talking to the lame man saying, hey, you know, this guy Jesus that he's been like all over the newspapers, you know, he's going to be in our village and, you know, we want to take you because we think he could get you healed. What? No. Yeah. I know you don't have money for an Uber. We're going to take you. Don't worry about it. We're going to pick you up. You know, and sometimes if you have a friend or a family in need, then that's what it takes sometimes. Sometimes it literally takes you going and getting the person and picking them up or supporting in them their belief to get them to Jesus. And if you, you know, I honestly believe, I think sometimes it takes a small village to help somebody when they're stuck. Doesn't it seem that way? It takes like the entire village. And in this story, it took four friends to carry him. So my suggestion to you is make sure you have four friends around you to carry through your storm, okay? It's just some good advice right there because I think you're going to need it. You know, but perhaps you're sitting here right now and you're thinking, oh my goodness, I am so one of the four. I am hashtag friend in need, people. Like, that is who I am. I am the friend in need. You need me, I'm there, right? Some people sitting there like, yep, that's me. I'm one of the four. Mm-hmm. Well, then sometimes if you're that person, then you get it. You get that sometimes it feels like they are riding on your faith. Like, you are literally carrying somebody, maybe not just in the physical sense, maybe not just, you know, picking them up and taking them to church, maybe it's financially, however you're helping them, but in the spiritual sense, it's like it's your faith that is holding them up and carrying them through the storm and this trial. You are actually helping them get their miracle. I'm telling you, faith-filled friends is a necessity in this life. You need that because there'll be that time when you might not have the faith. You might not be at that place. You'll be down. And trust me, you're going to want to have a friend near you that you can call and you know is going to speak to that mountain and pray and believe with you. And that is what is important. Those friends are important in your life. You know, so these friends, they've got their lame friend. They get to the house. And now everybody is posted on Facebook. Twitter is blowing up. This crowd is insane because everybody's been talking about Jesus. It is such a big crowd. They can't even see the front door. Never mind get to it. They have a huge obstacle in front of them. Their whole goal was to get to Jesus. And now there's this massive roadblock, literally trying to stop them to get to their goal, which is Jesus. But see, they had faith. Faith doesn't make things easy, it makes them possible. And they had faith. But you know, it's funny because it's like all the planning and praying that they'd done, they couldn't have foreseen this problem. That's what stinks sometimes. Sometimes you plan, you pray, you think, you know, I've done everything I need to do, and yet we still get faced with problems in life. We still get faced with these roadblocks and challenges, and we're like, man, I didn't see that one coming. You know, and these roadblocks, and they feel like they just want to stop you from living the life God's called you to. Sometimes it's spiritual attacks, you know, and you think, man, it's spiritually I'm being attacked so much, whether it's in my family or my business, and it feels like the enemy is trying to derail the vision that God put in your heart, whether it was for your marriage or for your business or for your ministry, but it feels like it's being derailed by these attacks. And then there are the circumstances where when we go through certain obstacles and challenges, sometimes They will allow us to grow in areas we need them. If we trust in God, if we rely on Him during that time. See, Romans says that our troubles produce patience, and patience produces character. I just want to scratch that whole verse out. I do not like that verse. I'm sorry. I do not want my troubles to produce anything except a quick exit strategy. Okay? I do not want... I was like, no, God, no. I want patience, but no, I don't want the troubles. You know, that's how we are sometimes. Like, just scratch that one out of the Bible. But that's what it says, because the thing is, in this world, we're going to have troubles. They come to everybody, whether they come from the enemy or whether they come from your boss, which is AKA the same thing. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. So kidding. You know, or whether they come from ourselves. Everybody's going to have troubles. The key is, how do you handle them? How do you handle them? Are you willing to trust God? Are you willing to listen to His voice? Because maybe in this, He is trying to show you something in you that needs to be grown, that needs to be stretched. And sometimes these roadblocks in our life keep coming around because we're supposed to push through them. See, there's this limiting belief you have that is stopping you from walking in the purpose and the calling God has for your life. And it needs to be broken down. See, these friends realized the only way they were going to get to their goal, the only way they were going to get to Jesus was to go through the obstacle. They had to break through their ceiling. And I think sometimes our biggest obstacle we face is right here. It's our own thoughts. It's our own mind that says to us all the time, well, you're just not good enough. You're not strong enough. You're not gifted enough. You're definitely not anointed enough. You're just not spiritual enough. You're just not enough. And we're going to have to break through our own limited ceiling that we have, our own ceiling of limited thinking that is stopping us from walking in what God's called you to walk in. You have to take the limits off of God and yourself. Say, I'm taking the limits off God. You have to literally break through your own ceiling. You have to believe that God has called you, anointed you, and purposed you, and chosen you for right now. He looked at the entire timeline from in eternity, the entire timeline from the beginning all the way to the return of Jesus. And He plucked you out of the timeline of the world, and He placed you right here and right now for this generation. Because you have a unique voice that He needs. He's given you gifts and talents, and then He has anointed them and positioned you for those around you. It's not just about you, whether you walk like God's called you to walk. It's about those around you that you need to affect. How do you see yourself? You have to break through your ceiling of limitation and begin to believe what God has said over your life. You have to let go of that thinking that God is mad at me, or, oh man, I've disappointed Him again, or I've messed up again, and maybe He's disappointed with me, and maybe that's why I'm suffering. No! We don't live under the old covenant. We live in the new covenant of grace, where God's mercies are new every morning. And guess what? Jesus took all of God's wrath on the cross. When He was on there, all of God's anger for every sin you're committing right now, He's already laid it out on Jesus. But you can choose to carry it, or you can choose to say, thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you, Jesus, that your mercies are new every morning. I messed up again, but today I'm going to start again, Jesus. But see, the thing is, if Satan can get you to believe that what is happening to you, that God is allowing it, guess what? You're not going to resist Him. You're not going to resist the one that's actually doing it. You're not going to resist, and He's the father of lies, of killing, of stealing, and destroying. It's not God doing it, folks. See, defeat is not God's will. Defeat has never been part or parcel of God's plan for you. Defeat is not what God's got in store for you. And you can live without defeat. You can live without defeat. Your story doesn't have to be one of ups and downs. I decree and I declare over this crowd that you will go from glory to glory, that you'll go from victory to victory, that you'll go from success to success in Jesus' name. Say, I receive that in Jesus' name. You receive that into your life. You take hold of that. There's one lost character in the story that I believe it is who we are called to be, and that is Jesus. When this story begins, it mentions that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting there. And if you don't know the Bible that much, then you might not realize this, but these were not his friends in the audience, okay? The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, these were his critics. This was his opposition. These were the people that were talking bad about him and smearing his name behind his back. These were the people that were spreading rumors and gossip about him. These were the people that were trying to stop people from getting to him. In today's vernacular, we'd call them his haters. But here they were, sitting in the crowd, listening to him. I feel the Lord saying to somebody here that he's going to make your haters your audience. So somebody receive that. I receive that in Jesus' name. The reason that we have to be most like Jesus in this story is it's because that's who we are called to be on this earth. The Bible says, so as he is, so are we here in this world. And guess what, folks? Christ walked in, operated in, lived in the power of God, which means so do we. So do we, folks. I pray that God would raise up men and women that would walk in the same anointing as Peter and Paul. That's what I want to see. I want to see, we need bold men and women of God who will dare to believe God in public, who will take the risk of faith. Yes, it's a risk nowadays. I mean, it's a risk to believe. It's a risk to have faith. It's a risk to talk about your faith in public. It's a risk to tell your friends, hey, I'm trusting God for that new job, or I'm trusting God for restoration in my marriage. You know, it's a risk. It's a risk to lay hands on the sick and actually believe that in Jesus' name they will be healed. It's a risk. But you know what? That's what we need. We need bold people that will risk it, that will just dare to believe what the Bible says is true and that God is able. That's what I want. I want to see men and women raised up in this place that will be the next great prophets and evangelists and just apostles of faith and believers in his name. They will dare to trust God and walk in a greater level of faith and will just say, you know what, Satan, your reign of terror is over in Jesus' name. That's what we need. But how do you see yourself? So let's read from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32. How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. The interesting thing, folks, is these that they're talking about, these are Old Testament characters. What that means is that they didn't have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them. It's only since the cross when Jesus died that we get to have the Holy Spirit with us all the time. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. The only thing they had was their faith in God. Listen one more time what they did. By faith, they overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, shut the mouths of lions, quenched flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. All because of their faith. That's all they had. We are in the New Testament, which means we are the new covenant of grace, of righteousness, and wait for it, the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus said, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will receive power. Do you notice that he didn't say, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you'll receive love or joy or peace? Yet we know that you get all of those by the very nature of the Holy Spirit. But he said you receive, he wanted us to know that primarily and most importantly, you're going to receive power when you receive the Holy Spirit. You're going to receive power. Yes, you need power because you need power to do the work he's called you to do. You need power to bring people to salvation. You need power so that you can perform signs and miracles and wonders. That's what this power is supposed to do in you. This power enables you to walk righteously. This power enables you to live victoriously. This is the power in you that's able to defeat any weapon that comes against you. This is the power you have on the inside of you. Say, I have the power of the Holy Spirit. And we know this because according to Romans chapter 8, it says, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Sometimes we read scriptures and we just brush over them. What that scripture is saying is that the Spirit that when Jesus Christ was in hell for 3 days, taking our place, the same Spirit that reached through into the pit of hell and pulled Jesus out, that Spirit lives in you. That's the Spirit we're talking about. We need to get a revelation of that. We need to walk in the power that God has placed on the inside of us. He never expected you to do this on your own. You were never supposed to walk solely in the natural. He expects us to look at Jesus and be like, okay, God, he did it, so I'm just going to do it. Childlike faith. Jesus said, come on, just do it. Just do it. That's what it takes. And you can do it. You know why? Because guess what? You have the same Spirit. You have the same Holy Spirit, which guess what that means? It means you have the same gifts. You have the same anointing as Christ did. The only thing that's missing is, do you have the same faith? That unwavering, immovable faith in God that says, I know God will do it. That is the only thing that is missing, is learning to trust in God's ability and not your own. You have to stop believing the lies the enemy is telling you and take the limitations off of yourself. Realize the power that you have in the name of Jesus. Begin to expect miracles when you pray for people. Because you know what? A miracle is worth like 10,000 words. What do I mean is this. If there's somebody you're witnessing to in your life, maybe a friend or a family member, the next time they have like a headache or a knee ache, just be like, you know what, can I pray for you? Because I believe Jesus heals, and he's going to heal you right now. And you use all your faith you got, and you say a little prayer thanking Jesus for the healing. That healing comes in Jesus' name. Watch how quickly they are more willing to listen to you talk. They'd be like, okay, so what now about you? Who's this Jesus guy? Because that pain just left. You know what I'm saying? So a miracle speaks loudly, and you want to begin to expect that. Expect when you lay hands on the sick, they're going to recover. Expect doors to open for you to preach. Expect favor. Expect that when you walk in a room, that if there's a demon on somebody, it's just going to flee just from being in your presence. Expect promotion. Expect the prophetic to operate in your life. Expect more. Because guess what? Expectancy is faith. And that's where God wants us to live. He wants you to live expecting. Because you have the power of the Holy Spirit. You have everything that's needed to have a breakthrough in your life and in those lives around you. He needs you to push through the obstacles, push through the limited thinking, and believe who he's created you to be. My title of this sermon is called, How Do You See Yourself? But it's time for you to see yourself as God sees you. God sees you equipped. God sees you anointed. God sees you chosen. God sees you purposed. And guess what? God sees you powerful.